Whatever we refuse for God will be replaced by whatever is best for us. Revelation 3:19, Jesus is talking, remember, to the lukewarm church. The church that, it doesn't matter. We just live however we want to live. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Some people ask this question of God. God, why did you create pain? You want to know what his answer to that question is? Because I love you. What do you mean by that? Dr. Paul Brand, back in the 20th century, spent 20 years studying lepers. He lived in a leprosarium with them, studying them. And until he came along, everyone believed that bacteria ate away the flesh of the lepers. That's what the disease did. But he found out, no, what it eats is the nerve endings so they don't feel pain. And so then they would injure themselves because they couldn't feel, and it would get infected, and then, you know, they'd lose limbs and sometimes die and all that kind of stuff. But it was due to the infection that resulted because they couldn't feel the things they were doing. And they lose fingers and toes. Sometimes overnight they would have lost that much of their finger, and the next morning they would have lost that much. And he couldn't figure out why that was, so he put cameras in their rooms. And turns out that at night when they were sleeping, rats were coming in and eating off their fingers and their toes and stuff. So all the lepers got cats for their room. He was really helped a lot. But they also found that the suicide rate was very high because they couldn't feel pain, but they also couldn't feel pleasure. It was the same nerves. And so they didn't want to live like that. And can I just say that when you have pain, there's a reason for it, whether it's in your physical body or in your mind or in your spirit. When there's pain, it's God warning you that something needs to change course. There was an NBA player not long ago that he hurt his ankle, and he got the team doctor to shoot it up with painkillers so he could keep playing. He kept playing. He went out and he jumped up and he broke a little bone in his ankle, but he couldn't hardly feel it, so he just kept on playing. And then he broke his ankle so bad he could never play basketball again. Completely ruined his ankle because he ignored and wouldn't listen to the pain. Because sometimes it's warning us. Here's another question that might sound similar, but it's different. God, why did you create suffering? You know what his answer to that question is? I didn't. He created pain, but he didn't create suffering. Yes, suffering is painful. But suffering entered the world when sin entered the world. War and sickness and disease and poverty are all a result of the fall. God did not send this coronavirus on us. It's a result of the fall. It's not God's judgment. And John 3:17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're already condemned. Jesus came to get us out of that. He's not putting more judgments on us so we'll feel worse. I'm not saying that we're not suffering under judgment, because God is allowing all kinds of judgments to happen in our world because we won't turn to him. 'Atheists and agnostics kind of use this, and they say, is this the best you can do? I don't want to know a God like that. And my answer to that is no. It's the best we can do. If God made a mistake, which he didn't, but if he had, it was in giving us free will. So when that business partner did you dirty, It was his free will that did it. When that spouse left you, it was their free will that did it. When your children rebelled, it was their free will that did it. God didn't do it to you. He leaves everybody a choice in all these matters. And sometimes we say, God, why did you do this to me? Sometimes when we say that to God, and I've said that to God before, sometimes when we say that, he'll say, because I love you. But usually he will say, well, I didn't, but I'm going to walk with you through it. Did you know that the phrase, I love you from God, or I didn't do that, answers almost every why question you can ask? If you think about it. There was a pastor not that long ago of a very large church. 200 people were very upset with him, and they were threatening to split the church. At the same time, his unsaved mother tried to commit suicide. And at the same time, his wife got hit by an 18-wheeler. And he was only allowed to be with her, all broken and swollen and bleeding, for about 1 minute before they made him leave so they could work on him. And he went into the waiting room. And he went over into the corner of the waiting room. And he said, God, are you trying to tell me something? And God said, yes. So he said, well, why would you do this? And here's what God said to him. I didn't do any of this, but I love you and I'm going to be with you and take you through it. The end of that story was his wife was miraculously healed and left the hospital with just a broken toe. He was able to lead his mother and his father to the Lord, and they were so excited about the Lord, they would get to church 30 minutes before the church even opened because they just couldn't wait for church. And the 200 people left his church, and he said, my ministry completely changed after that. For the first time in my ministry, pastoring was a blessing and not a burden. You think he saw any of that in that waiting room? No, of course he didn't. I encourage you to just yield yourself into the loving hands of the Lord, whatever's going on in your life. He's going to walk with you through it. Everything might not get fixed the way you think it ought to be, but he's going to walk you through it, and you're going to come out victorious on the other side. We got lots of examples and testimonies of that sitting in this room here. And here's my last fairly short point. Fairly short. I know God loves me because I can overcome fear supernaturally. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'm going to get through a service pretty soon without having to wipe my nose. That wasn't part of the sermon notes. Now, it doesn't say that fear won't attack us. But when it does, God's perfect love will cast it out when we receive it to displace fear. So we think we should just walk around all the time, never ever experiencing a twinge of fear. And if we do, then we're not perfect in love. That is not what that's saying. It's saying perfect love, which who is perfect love? God. And whose spirit dwells in you? God's. You have perfect love dwelling within you. And every time fear comes your way, you have a choice to lean on that spirit that is in you, or to go by your flesh and follow your mind. They told us a couple of days ago when I took Pam to the ER that her lung was full, but they said, we don't think it's COVID related. We think it might be a malignancy. And she had blood clots in both lungs that could kill her any minute. And a wave of fear hit us. And then I prayed. I went to sleep that night, and the peace of God kept my heart and mind. Yesterday, the pulmonologist said to her, I don't think it has anything to do with cancer. It's just inflammation and reaction to the COVID. I already had peace that it wasn't that, because the spirit of love, perfect love, cast out fear. It doesn't mean I didn't have to do a little battle with fear. Been there? Well, yeah. Any of us can have a spirit of fear jump on us anytime. And sometimes that it's like a monkey clinging to your shoulders and you got to beat it off. But you don't beat it off with your willpower. You beat it off with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And you speak the Word. You speak to that mountain, as our brother sang so well today. And it has to move. Even if it doesn't, I'm not going down without a fight. So what happened to us and what's happened to you was fear, false evidence appearing real. Fear is usually based on a twisted fact and a whole lot of speculation. Like the way the government's handled, I'm not going to go there. I'm tempted, but I'm not. Fear attacks you emotionally to get you to make decisions based on your feelings instead of faith. Many people live every day with the fear of just hearing, I don't love you anymore. Or a fear of being rejected by somebody or rejected by God. Or they live with the fear of not being able to stand before God at the judgment day. How much more do you need to do to be able to stand before God at judgment day? He did it all. Your job is to be in Him. Be in Him. You're going to mess up at times. You're going to need to repent. But the important thing is to get in Him. When you're in Him, then you can take your chastening and go on and grow. And let me say this. The cure for fear is to go deeper in love. That's the cure for fear. After Gabe passed away, my 15-year-old son, I've shared this before, but somebody needs to hear it. I was laying in bed early in the morning, and this voice very clearly spoke to me. Voice as clear as you're hearing my voice, said, this happened to you because God hates you. And my emotions believed it. My emotions, I anxiety came all over me and hopelessness and all that kind of stuff for a little while. But I've been in the Word for a lot of years, and all of a sudden I started thinking of scriptures, like God is love, and Romans 8, like we talked about, and all these scriptures that were in the well started to come up in the bucket. And I said, wait a minute, that wasn't God, that was Satan. Did you know Satan can talk to you? And some people recognize when he does, and other people go, oh, that must be true. But you have to know the difference, and you only know the difference if you know what's in this Word. Amen. And so I rebuked that. I began to praise God and it was gone. But that could have sent me down into a hole that who knows where it would have ended. When we suffer loss or trauma or get a bad report, the first thing fear does is try to get you to measure yourself against the situation and show you how weak and unable you are to do anything about it. That's what fear tries to do to you. But our faith takes us to the throne of God immediately without fear to get the true report. As I've shared many times, there's a report and then there's God's report. You haven't got the truth till you get God's report on whatever it is. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." What kind of throne is it? It's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace if you're in Christ. To the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That means no matter how poorly I performed or even how badly I've sinned, the door to the throne room is wide open and my advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, has gone in before me with his blood to advocate for me and to plead his blood in my case. So if I come in behind him on the basis of the blood, I can't be turned away. And when I come before him on the basis of that blood, grace is there to help me in my time of need, whatever that need is. I'm going to preach myself happy in a minute. God will receive me at that throne because he's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. One more story, two scriptures, and I'm done. In 2007, 2008, as some of you know, I experienced a terrible attack again from the devil. You know, this is why you should pray for me every day, because preachers, they get it. They get it. I'm getting some of it right now. But I had an encounter with the devil that messed me up pretty bad. And it's way too long to tell the story, but basically what happened was he said to me, "Your ministry's over and you're going to get cancer and die." And immediately this anxiety and fear got all over me, and depression, and because I sort of kind of believed it because of the power of the encounter. And then a month or two, I think it was 2 months after that, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it just seemed like, whoa, it's happening. And so I spent a couple of years, I knew better, but I was sort of believing that spirit of fear. And then one day the Lord just gave me revelation and I realized this is all a big lie. I'm not dying of cancer. That doesn't mean I couldn't die of cancer, but I'm not going to die of cancer, and I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name, and I am. That was, 15 years ago? No cancer in my body. God brought me out of the anxiety and the depression over it. That was a couple of years going on, but again, because I think I lingered in it longer than I needed to. If I'd known then what I know now, I probably would have got out of it sooner. But that's the way life is, right? The devil never attacks you in stuff that you know what to do about it. It's always something that you didn't think of. Like, I couldn't sleep last night because I was trying to figure out how we're going to get rid of 40 pigs. So So if anybody wants to buy a pig, or actually you could just sneak up and get one. I won't shoot you. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's my posture in this life. I don't know if I'll live another month or another 25 years. It doesn't even matter to me. But what matters is to me is that I'm confident that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, because I know that I know that I know that Jesus loves me, that God loves me. And I want to leave you with these two verses, and the team can come. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So I'd like you to bow your head. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit, your precious word. I want to ask you, while your heads are bowed, is there anybody in the room that would say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Christ? You may know about him. You may have even gone to church when you were young or whatever, but you realize that the kind of relationship Kristen was talking about and the kind of love I've been talking about today is really not in your heart, and you need Jesus to save you. You need to repent of your sins and give your life to Christ. The door's wide open. He's already confirmed how much he loves you. The only question is whether you will receive that love and receive salvation today. You can receive it right now. You don't have to do anything except open the door and receive it in by confessing him as Lord. Is there anybody in the room? Raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody in the room? I need to repent of my sins and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not right with God. I need to do this. Wait another moment. But Pastor, that makes us uncomfortable. Good. All right, so the team is going to sing another song in closing, and I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, I'll be standing right over here, or you can just come pray at the altar. If you really still need to receive Christ as your Lord, come see me and we'll pray together. If you need prayer for anything else, come. Everybody stand. And we'll be done at the end of this song. Just worship the Lord. Connect with the love of Jesus.
Jesus, there's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Now there's a place where sin and shame are powerless. There my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you.
Father, I thank you, God, that you love us so very much, that your love is not a permissive love that just says, well, it doesn't matter how you live, but it's also not a legalistic love that tries to get us to perform. It's a real person love with all the ups and downs that come with it. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. Pray for that person today that needed to get saved and didn't. God, I pray that you would speak to them and deal with them as they go to bed at night, that they would find that they have no rest till their rest is in you. Lord, I pray for the rest of us that struggle sometimes with knowing that you love us, God. I pray that we'd get it nailed down and we'd never doubt it again, so we can be a help to other people that are struggling. In Jesus' name, amen.